This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Hi, and I'm Ron Milk, producer, co-host, and homeowner advocate. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, and avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and more.
Your Value of Home airs Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 64 years. Okay, Kev, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
You got it.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk. Presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you.
All right, you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And we're going to jump right into the replay, Ron.
Yeah, who do we have on the air?
We have Polly. He's going to be one of my customers that we're going to be working on. We're doing our kitchen. So we are in the last phases of getting things ready to start production.
This is in works right now.
Mm-hmm. And the good news is I can actually say on the air, Polly, I just went and got your permit this morning, so we should have that in a couple of weeks from the township building. So, Polly, let's get into talking why you wanted to do your kitchen.
Sure. So it's a new house to us. We've been here for about a year now. We have two young children, and the kitchen is just not very user-friendly. It's a little bit of a smaller space. You can't even open the refrigerator without hitting the cabinets. Can't fully extend the door, even probably halfway, I would think. So the babies swing open the door constantly, and it hits the cabinets. And even the walkway from the kitchen to the dining room is pretty small. You have to kind of turn sideways if you don't want somebody to hit their head. So we were looking to get more space and more use out of the area.
Well, yeah, it's funny that the house has been around for 30, 40 years now. It's approximately at least 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. 30 years old.
And okay. It's been this way for, I guess, since some people had moved in, because it hasn't been redone. So it's a smaller end kitchen where they have the dining room.
Yeah, but people had different expectations for kitchens years ago, too, you know?
What, not user-friendly?
Huh? No, well, maybe not. Maybe not. So lot's been learned since then.
Yeah. There has. Mm-hmm. And the nice part about it today is that every kitchen that we've been doing has that new look of open. It's the open concept. Everybody wants this open concept. And that was the first thing, Polly, that's one thing you were looking at, was opening everything up, taking that wall between the living room and the kitchen out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Again, normal. A lot of people do it. Mm-hmm. It's a non-bearing wall. It's the best economical way to get a larger kitchen without spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's jump into, again, because we're getting closer, the kitchen's about ready to go. What are some of the things that the process that it took you to get to this point, you know, picking the product out, knowing what you were looking at, flooring, cabinets, the whole nine yards? Let's start with the cabinets first.
Sure. So after I had reached out to Kevin, he set me up with a woman at Ware Rungs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked with her to set up a date and time. Everybody kind of came in our house to measure, so Kevin was over, and then Kathy was over to get measurements and check everything out. Kathy would set up a couple of different designs depending on what we were looking for. So she would email them. My husband and I would look through them to see if they matched what we were kind of looking for and our expectations. And then we went in and met with her, picked out the cabinets and the countertop. And any of the extra hardware as well.
Well, how long did it take you to from start to pick the cabinets? Because everybody says, hey, listen, you know what? I know what I'm looking at. I get it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to pick it right away. It's going to take me 10 minutes.
But it can be mind-boggling for a lot of people, too.
Well, that's what it is, and people don't get that going into it. So, Polly, what was your time frame? Were you in there 1, 2, 3 appointments? How long were you in there with Kathy?
So we went in initially, my husband and I, and we looked at a bunch of stuff. And we picked out certain ones, but I don't think they had ones that we were kind of aiming for in there. So she had them delivered to our house. So it was probably one appointment delivered to our house, and then I met with her again. So a few times before you can really picture what it is. And then she, I guess her computer system was great enough where it kind of, after we picked out different colors, and we actually opted to make the island cabinets a different color to make the room pop. So she helped us with that.
Yeah,
too.
That's a common decorating thing today. Yeah.
Yeah, more people do. Because when you're looking into a kitchen, that's the first thing you're going to be looking at is that flow from the flooring to the cabinets to the countertop, backsplash, all that's got to incorporate to make sure nothing's out of place. And more people have been going that way.
But let me ask you this. Did you have an idea of the style of cabinet you were looking for when you first walked in to see Kathy?
No, not at all.
So that seeing all that in the showroom helped you?
100%. I like to see things.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good.
Was it overwhelming the first time you went there?
I'm sure it was, yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
Well, again, now you have the cabinets picked out, the color, the style. What's the style that you chose?
It's definitely a more simple style. We didn't go with anything too crazy fancy. Again, just because anything with glass and things like that, we wanted to stay away from with my kids being so young. So Merrimack, I think we went with.
That's brand.
And then like a simple satin nickel hardware for the outside. The cabinet doors all have like rounded edges, nothing real sharp. And a little bit easier to clean without too many grooves and edges. And then the hardware as well, kind of we went more horizontal and kind of just pull.
To bring a little more modern into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the countertop?
Ooh, the countertop is nice. It's like a nice dark blue granite with some like white and silver in it. It was very nice.
Ooh, nice. What color are the cabinets on the perimeter? Well, give me the perimeter and the island.
So the cabinets on the main stuff is like an icy avalanche. It's like a grayish white, I guess.
Grayish white.
And then, yeah. And then for the island, we did almost like a, I want to say navy blue.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds, it works. It works because it works with the granite very well too, right?
Yeah, it definitely makes it pop. It went well, at least in the visual that we were provided. It looks really nice.
It was probably the first time I'm asking you this because a lot of my customers say, well, don't you know the color? I know what I never really look at the color because it doesn't affect me for the installation. I'm looking at the size, the cabinet, the
layout. You're just putting them in.
I'm just popping them in. Mm-hmm. So really it's a new thing to me when they open it up because Kathy and I have been working together for 22 years now. And with that, I trust her judgment and everybody's been happy with her choosing colors, helping people through to make that process of choosing the color, make sure it's not like, well, you sure you want that color with that countertop? So she does a good job with it. But yeah, that's one thing I look at is just strictly the application of installation is what I'm looking at. So when I look at the job, it's, hey, this looks great when we're done. And usually I try to throw in some 2 cents, but what you're saying, that looks great. That's because I have it at my house.
It's going to be a stunning look.
Yeah.
What's the tile on the floor?
What, going with Cortec.
Cortec.
Yeah, Tom Adams is supplying Cortec.
What's the color?
Driftwood. It's like a gray with some white variables in it.
Yeah, so that the island's really going to pop off that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything's going to pop, yeah.
So why did you choose Cortec with Tom Adams?
A lot of recommendation by you and kind of knowing the lifestyle that we live. A cat, a dog, 2-year-old twins, so something that would be durable and take a hit without having to replace it and easy to clean.
I like that easy to clean thing. We did many shows on Cortec. We talked about dog's pee.
It's a great product.
You can do whatever you want with that product. Yeah. It takes a beat.
Takes a licking and keeps on Corteking.
Yes, it does. Well, what we're doing now is, Polly, what we're going to do is when the front door, we're going to be replacing the front door. And then that front door from that hallway all the way into the kitchen is all going to be new Cortec. So it's going to flow. So people from right when you get in that door. And again, with the new door we're putting in, it's going to be awesome looking for you have the door going into the flooring that is in the foyer to go into the kitchen, which is going to be this huge kitchen. it's going to pop when you get in there. So that's what the whole design aspect of it that we're doing here is, because some people do cut corners and say, well, listen, I don't want to do this now. Just leave this for a later time. But you know it needs to get some work done. But this is going to flow very nicely once we get everything done.
I'm looking forward to it.
So now what's your ETA on it?
We're a couple weeks away from getting started. Mm-hmm. So we're just in another project finishing up. And as soon as we get finished up this job that we're going to be on, and we're going to get started right away and work straight through to get her done as quick as possible. She was very patient. We have Thanksgiving up. And this for any of the listeners.
Well, you'll be ready for the holidays then, right? Yeah.
We'll be close. Yeah, we'll be close. Okay. We're going to try like as hard as we can to get in. But once we get things rolling the 7-day week, just like everybody else, because she was referred to us by another customer. Mm-hmm. That we had done work for, but we'll get there as quick as possible. But the way it should work out as we get started, we'll, again, I tell everybody this, you'll have a schedule every day what we're doing, and we're going to hold to that schedule from ripping it out to getting the guys in to getting all the inspections that we need to get done, and then getting the drywall up, and then get the cabinets in. And once the cabinets are in that next day, we have them all in. Tom Adams is going to be out doing the flooring, and it's going to be very operational, very quick. So, Polly, we're going to bring you on again as the process goes on to talk about what other things you had to get ready for us to come and start ripping everything out. But we do appreciate your time here and talking about your kitchen. And we're ready to get started. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210
WPHD. Good luck, Polly.
Thank you very much.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets 25% off carpet sale is happening now at all Tom Adams Windows and Carpet showrooms. Save up to 25% off installation. Save up to 25% off carpet and padding. Save up to 25% off your project. Save on Berber's plushes and patterns. Nylons and Serona carpet by Mohawk, Shaw, Maslin, and Stanton. Stain resistant, pet resistant, soft and durable. Save 25% off carpet only at Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Hurry and get 12-month financing. New Synchrony accounts get a $100 Visa card rebate on purchase. See store for details. Since 1955, Tom Adams Windows and Carpets has been winning awards for their superior installation and customer service. Get free measurement, free furniture movement, and save up to 25% off carpet now only at Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Check out TomAdamsCarpet.com. TomAdamsCarpet.com. Hurry, sale ends October 27th.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
Now back to Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you have a question about a home project for our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
We're back. You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And right now it's time for the horror story. My favorite. I love these horror stories. I absolutely love them. Most of these horror stories, I tell you, have been more listeners calling me and saying, hey, Kevin, you know, I love the show. It's great. But I didn't do what you said. I'm in a little bit of a problem. How do I get out of it? I don't have an answer at this point. Wait, you listen
best
to the show.
Best way to get out of it is not to get into it in the first place, right?
And that's what we've been doing for 6-plus years here at Your Valuable Home, is to educate the consumer on what not to do. So, again, large upfront down payment. So at 50%.
Cash or check?
This was check. Everything was
check.
Legitimate.
Okay. All right.
Again, I'm not saying that's wrong, but again, it's against the law in the state of Pennsylvania. You can only accrue up to a 33%.
33 or 35?
33%.
33?
So it's one-third or 33, 35. Mm-hmm. You know, but you're still in that area where you're fine. But you also have to talk about, like we talked with Polly, you're going to get a schedule from me. So what the schedule is the start date and the finish date, approximately when you're going to get things going, mm-hmm. get it done, and then try to be somewhat on time. Of course, if there's any delays that come into it or any change orders that have to be written up. So I was talking to this person. I said, well, listen, she was too shy to come on the air. And I said, I get it. I understand that we're not going to mention any names, but tell me what went wrong. She said, well, you know, they got started. They got everything ripped out, some materials at the job, and then they didn't come back. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, they didn't come back. It's been weeks. So I said, well, did you call them? Well, the lack of communication, and it just kept going on. Now, 3 months into a small bathroom project is putting a lot of stress, because when you only have...
Yeah, that sounds like a little outrageous, isn't it?
Well, yeah, when I told her, she's like, she was talking about the one show we were talking about where bathrooms, it's about a week and a day, week and 2 days, start to finish for a hall bathroom. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, we're 3 months. The plumber was out and just did some shut-off valves and did some things, but there's no drywall up yet. So
they're putting drywall up? They're putting cement board or just drywall?
Well, you take the drywall where it's needed, the fiber cement board or the concrete board. People do apply. That's going to be on the floor where the tile's going and all wet areas.
Right.
So that's got to be that way. But they're not even close to that yet, and it's 3 months. I shake my head and go, why?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
So I said, listen, I don't need to know the name of the company, but you should call them back saying, number one, it's against the law on what they're doing because they want you a start and finish date. There's been no communication about delays. So nobody knows at this point what's going on. Because
don't they have to put that on their estimate?
It has to be in there. It does. Yeah. So since it's not on there, I said, that, number one, they're going against what HICPA's telling you. You need a start and finish date.
Right.
And again, if there's going to be delays, which can happen, it definitely can happen. There's got to be something in writing to let you know, hey, by the way, this is a change order or this is going to take a little bit more time. We've got to put this in writing. You got to sign off on it. But at 3 months when people aren't calling back, I'm more upset with the contractor because these are the wannabe contractors that
sounds like this contractor is gone.
I'm going to get her more information future-wise when she says, hey, what's going to go on? So I said, keep me posted on what's going to happen. It's almost 3 months, she said, and the plumber was the only one there. They gutted it, got some material there, and nothing has been installed.
All right, so he's subbing it out to the plumber, right? The plumber's doing his job, and the contractor is good. Sounds like he's gone.
Yeah, well, you need electric that's going to be run. She said, we're getting some new lights in there.
Right.
And I said, listen, if you're going to be getting all new wiring, any plumbing change, you know, what's the township say? And she just couldn't have an answer. So usually at that point, then you know that this contractor is definitely not on the up and up. Because we were talking about piling. The first thing I said was, hey, listen, I just applied for your permit. Well, I'm taking a wall out. I'm moving electric. I'm moving plumbing. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. I go to the township, get my permit, do everything I need to do, call the inspector in, get my approval, and then close everything off. It's not that hard.
No, I think a bathroom would even be simpler, wouldn't it? He's not moving any walls or anything in there?
Nope. No. Small bathroom. Yeah, everything was a small bathroom. But I'm
agreeing with you. Maybe 2 weeks tops, right?
2 weeks is pushing it. But yeah, but even still at that point, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
But not with her. She doesn't.
I got a feeling that 3 months is going to go to 4, 5, and 6, and then somebody's going to come to the conclusion the guy's not coming back.
Well, first thing I did ask her, I said, well, where did you get the contractor? And it was an online. Everything was online.
Yep.
And those online, they're given great ratings, and it's all verified. Well, it's verified what for? A 5 month small bathroom? But these are what we see more today. That
I don't understand why a guy would do that, though. I mean, to do what? To be able to keep the front money he got, and he's going to go on to somebody else and do the same thing? Where is the future in that?
Well, what's going to happen is it's going to catch up with him. Now, she doesn't.
It's got to. It has to.
Well, when enough people start calling the DA and the DA would cause HICPA and everybody's coming down
somebody
and crushing
will come
down.
Knocking on his door.
And it's not going to be nice because that's going to be the... Now, if you're in Bucks County, we always have Mark Ferber. He's the assistant DA. Bucks County does a phenomenal job.
Real watchdog for homeowners.
Yes,
absolutely.
In Bucks County, and we have him on the line. And I said, listen, at this point, you either call the contractor, and the best legal advice I can give you is call your attorney. But at this point... You're stuck. You're really stuck at this point because you've got to make yourself whole again. And by doing that, you gave him a good bit of money, a third down. But again, it's not much.
What was the number?
The whole job was $18,000.
So a third of that.
A third of that. So he does have some material there. She said there's a little bit of drywall. There's the tool that I wanted. And she probably got out of the box store. And a little bit of odds and ends that she said. Some 2x4s. What are the 2x4s for? If it's just a bathroom, I said the only thing I would use it for is to plate around where the tub's going to be, the new tub.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I always put studding at the end of that just in case, if you future-wise, you don't have the money, but you want to do a shower door, you have something to screw into.
Bears the weight.
And right there also is where I transitioned the drywall from the concrete board that we put up. Mm-hmm. So you can get that overlap where the tile and drywall meet. So it's got a good, nice finish to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only reason. So all this other stuff, I don't know what that is, but probably going to be worth about $600-$700 of material.
He's got most of that money in his pocket.
He's got it, and he ripped out. So I said, listen, at this point, call your attorney, or you can call the disc attorney in your area and just say, listen, we got a problem here. I understand HCPA, because they're in Pennsylvania, they can do something about it. But by the time that happens, you just want the bathroom done. You know, going through lawsuits and going after the contractor is going to be a big waste of time at this point. Because number one, you're in good shape that you didn't pay the other two-thirds, but you still put money out of the pocket, but you need a bathroom.
But the only thing that would make sense for them at this point, if the guy is definitely gone, because he could, you could file right now and he could say, well, no, we were coming back. We just had other jobs. So you're just spinning wheels. But the best thing for them would be to don't get a lawyer, because you're going to spend
more time and money. Absolutely.
Go to small claims court, but then that's not enforceable. Nobody's got the power to enforce anything for a verdict that comes down in small claims court.
Well, there is a little bit. This is one of my things that
most people don't know this.
Yeah, though. This is called what you can do is, if you go to small claims court, you can go to an order of execution at that point when you win. But here's how this works. At the 30-day mark, when you win that judgment locally, it's got to go to then the county, which is like Bucks County. If you're going there, it's going to go to there. So they have 30 days to arbitrate that. Right. After that 30 days, if they don't still pay, then you go back to the court, your local court, and you get an order of execution. It costs about $125, but fully refundable by the person you sued, the contractor.
And somebody then forces that person to pay?
Sheriff shows up at your door and says, okay, hey, by the way, we're having a sale. You better get this paid off.
Yeah, I think most people wouldn't know that.
Again, they don't. But again, HCPA should be there to protect more homeowners than they should. But homeowners, again, it's buyer beware. Really, I'm telling you, I know so many contractors, just by looking at their work, they really shouldn't be in business. There's a handful of them that I'd say, hey, they very nice work. They've been around for 25, 30 years, and
that's just not contractors. It's pretty much widespread.
Yeah, but it's making my job harder to sell somebody, because these are the horror stories that you're hearing. And if anybody has a story, listen, don't be shy. Come on the air to tell about it, because why is you can help somebody to have it not happen to them.
You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, the company that has won more awards nationally for installation and customer service, is having an entry and patio door sale. Experience why Tom Adams Windows and Carpets wins national awards. Call Tom Adams Windows and Carpets and save big on entry, patio, French, storm doors, patio sliders, and more. Hurry! Get 12-month financing. New Synchrony accounts get a $100 Visa card rebate on purchase. See store for details. Sale ends October 27th. Don't miss your chance to save big on all entry and patio doors, sliders, and more, and see why Tom Adams has won more national awards for installation and customer service in the past 3 years than every competitor in the tri-state area. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets has been winning lifelong customers since 1955. Check out TomAdamsWindows.com. That's TomAdamsWindows.com.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
And you're listening to Your Valuable Home with us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, now it is time for the college. And what do we got going on today?
I got a question for you, Kev. When you turn your faucet on in your home, what do you expect to come out of there? If you want a glass of water, you expect water that's not going to be harmful to you, right?
I would hope so.
Okay, well, the people of Flint, Michigan, which is a very publicized situation, and now, more recently, Newark, New Jersey, have to have their expectations lowered a little bit. And the reason is lead in the tap water. And here to talk about that, and fake water filters too, which is a problem that compounds this whole situation, is Rick Andrew, Director of Global Business Water for NSF in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Founded in the mid-40s, NSF International is the global watchdog that protects people around the world from harmful water and food. And Rick, you're celebrating a big anniversary this year, right?
Yes, actually, it's been 75 years since we were first founded. So thanks for mentioning that.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So how widespread is this lead problem in the U.S.? I mean, should people have it on their minds? Are they worried about it? Is it a big city thing? Is it a small town thing? What is it?
Well, you know, most water systems in the U.S. do provide safe drinking water, but, you know, lead was used in certain components of water distribution systems, you know, pipes and so forth, years ago. And so it can be an issue. And, you know, when there is a lead problem, it tends to come up in parts of the city that have older infrastructure, older pipes. And especially when the water authority makes a change to the water supply or to the way that water is treated, this can disrupt the whole system and cause corrosion to start, which is where the lead comes from. So the larger cities are required to do more monitoring than smaller ones, so they tend to have fewer issues. But when they do make changes to a water supply or to the way the water is treated, larger cities can also have issues.
So larger cities in the oldest part of the country, which is the East Coast, you're talking about D.C., Philly, Baltimore, New York, Boston, right? Is that where the problems are likely to – and Newark. Newark is right in that string there. Is that where the problems are likely to crop up?
That's right. And you know, D.C. actually had a problem about 15 years ago because they had made a change to the way they were treating their water. So they kind of went through this a while back. And so, yes, all these cities that have the older infrastructure, it's definitely something to be thinking about, especially if they're going to make changes to that water supply.
Now, would the same apply for municipal water supplies outside of the cities, like in the suburbs or rural areas on the East Coast?
Yes, it can. You know, especially if those pipes and so on were installed before 1986, which is when the U.S. put a ban on using lead. So definitely something that can happen.
How about that? So that would be, was that coincidental to the lead and paint ban?
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Same thing. You know, it was recognized that exposure to lead is not really a good thing for anybody. And so there was an effort made to, you know, get the lead out of gasoline, to get the lead out of paint, out of our plumbing. And that all happened back in the mid-80s.
Mid-80s. Okay. When people started to become aware of it. Okay.
It's been that long since the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not thinking about it. Yeah. When you said with the gas, I understand the lead. But what were some of the effects that this was causing?
Well, you know, the big thing that people are really concerned about is the impacts on young children. Those children are developing, and the lead can cause problems with their development, not only their brain development, but also just their physical development. They can end up, you know, having problems with growth and so forth. So it's not good for anybody. It can affect adults, too. But the big concern is what it can do to small children.
What about pregnant women?
Yep, an issue there too, because it can, you know, go from the women into the fetus and cause some issues there, these developmental problems. So it's something that we don't want to be exposed to.
So how is it actually getting into the tap? Is it the service line that's coming into a house? Is it the main water line that's coming into the town? How does that happen?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's not usually found in source water. It's usually a situation where the source water, the water at the water treatment plant, is okay for lead. But as that lead goes through the piping system, it can be exposed to lead, especially when we have these older pipes. And the big ones to watch out for are the lead service lines. Mm-hmm. And the service line is what connects the pipe in the street to your house. So that can sometimes in older homes be made out of lead. And then also sometimes the plumbing inside the house, if that plumbing is older, can have components in it that have a high lead content.
So anybody who's buying a house in an old established area where the houses are like 40, 50, 60 years old or older should be conscious of this.
Absolutely. That would be high on my radar if I were considering purchasing a home like that.
How about that? I wonder if it is. I wonder if people inspect for that today. Do you know?
Not many people that I know really are concerned. A lot of they're really thinking about with the, it's not lead. There's other components in there, contaminants around where we live, due from the Navy bases. That's where they're big concern. Not many people, when we do talk about water, they think about lead.
No, I wouldn't think so. What's your experience, Rick? I mean, here and other areas of the world.
Yeah, I think the awareness is really increased since the whole Flint thing started about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think more and more people are thinking about lead. You know, it's become a really big focus when we think about schools. A lot of schools are taking action to monitor for lead that might be in the drinking water there. So we see a lot of calls here to NSF, consumers asking us about lead in the drinking water on our consumer hotline. So definitely this has become a much bigger issue in the last 5 years.
Well, Newark is an issue that's hot right now, isn't it?
It is, yes. You know, Newark is a city of roughly 280,000 people. The reports are that there's about 18,000 of these lead service lines in Newark. And so those are the people that are potentially, you know, most impacted. Now, the city has stepped up the treatment to control the corrosion as of May of this year. But it takes time for this kind of approach to work. So, you know, they've been passing out NSF certified water filters to help people make sure they're getting safe, clean drinking water. But definitely a situation to be on the lookout for.
What's a long term fix? What's a long term fix for Newark? Isn't it to take out all the service lines that are lead?
That could be an outcome, ultimately. I think right now what they're focusing on is getting this corrosion control in place and then making sure they're consistently monitoring and then appropriately using the filters. But, you know, with Flint, they are actually replacing all of those lead service lines. And reportedly, they're on track to have that done by the end of the year.
Okay. So if I'm thinking of, as a consumer, I'm going to be purchasing a product that like a home filtration system, because I want to be able to control it myself. I want to make sure that I'm not depending on the government to make sure that I'm getting clean water. I want to be able to do it myself. Are there like home remedies that people can put on, like a water filtration system in their home to ensure that the water is really, really in good shape and without lead?
Yes, absolutely. You know, NSF certifies home water filters for lead reduction. And it's something that people can be out on the lookout for when they look for water filters. They want to look for that NSF certification mark, and also they want to look out for making sure the filter is certified for lead reduction. We certify filters to do all kinds of different things, so it's really important to make sure that it's specifically certified for lead reduction.
I got a question for you, and it's a personal thing. My girlfriend was in a place with, she has well water.
And okay? I bet you
well
she drinks water.
And
too,
she
yeah.
uses something called a Berkey. Do you know what that is? You must know what that is. Yeah,
it's. I've heard of that manufacturer, but I'm not specifically familiar with that product.
It is a tub, a stainless steel tub. It's got charcoal filters in it. Will that do the job here that needs to be done?
Well, many of
probably
the filters.
Not. Yeah.
Many of the filters are sort of activated carbon based, and if they're specifically designed, tested, and certified for lead reduction, they can be very effective in performing that function. Absolutely.
How does somebody? I mean, if you talk people, a lot of people here in Bucks and Montgomery County and other counties that are more rural or ex-urban or whatever you want to call them, have well water. How do they feel that they're safe? What do they do?
It's a great question because, you know, people with city water, that the city is required to monitor that water, both, you know, at the water treatment plant and then also checking throughout the distribution system for lead and copper to make sure that's okay. But really, if you have a private well, you're kind of on your own. So we like to recommend that people get their well water tested once a year just to make sure everything's okay. You know, a lot of things can happen to private wells. So definitely it's worth getting that water tested once a year.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I can tell you the last farmhouse I lived in, it was great when I moved in. About a year and a half later, I got it tested. The guy said, you have the highest amount of fecal matter in your water.
Oh, that's not good.
Lori loved that one. She wanted to move at that point.
That would have freaked me out, too.
Yeah, she was baiting with bottled water at that point. But, yeah, I let homeowners know that having a home filtration system, you're controlling what is coming into that house, whether it's going to be well water or public. I mean, I personally feel safe to have that system in place at my house, so I can then control the carbon, which is going to take out the smells if you have a hardwood or a sulfur, lead contaminants, anything you could possibly do, especially that the NSF certification, having that on there is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you're mentioning, you know, there's lots of different technologies out there. We have, you know, the activated carbon, there's reverse osmosis. You know, we've not covered it, but there are water softeners for people who have hard water. So a lot of different technologies. I think it's important that people understand, you know, what they want to do to their water. What kind of treatment do they want to give it? And I think having an analysis of the water is really important to help people understand what needs to be done to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rick, I want to talk a little bit more about hard water in a sec. I want to take a little bit of a break. And everybody, you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets 25% off carpet sale is happening now at all Tom Adams Windows and Carpet showrooms. Save up to 25% off installation. Save up to 25% off carpet and padding. Save on Berbers, plushes, and patterns. Mohawk carpet is stain resistant, pet resistant, soft, and durable. Save 25% off on carpet only at Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. 12-month financing is available for qualified buyers. Check out TomAdamsCarpet.com. Hurry, sale ends October 27th.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
If you're starting a home project, let Your Valuable Home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
And you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, what do we got for the college going on?
Yeah, and we're talking with Rick Andrew from NSF in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They are the global watchdog that protects us from bad food and water.
So, Rick, you know, getting back to that hard water question, here's the problem I've been having as a contractor. More plumbers, homeowners, and even my jobs, we're finding that the shower drains, toilets, everything that where water's running through, I'll give an example. I had three bathrooms myself that I did over the course of 7, 5, and 1 year ago. Inside that drain, there is a massive amount of hard water calcium buildup. You know what I'm talking about? That's building into the drains and it's starting to clog the secondary drains.
Yes, and, yes.
Yeah, I get that too.
And I was a little unsure of this because it was we were doing a job and it just happened to come through and I went up there and he said to me, why did you pour cement down the drain? I said, 5 years ago when I did your shower, I didn't pour cement down your drain. So we went upstairs and looked at it and you could see it looked like a salt lick and actually started breaking it off and it had his hair in it. So I said, no, Bob, I don't think it was us putting it down, but more investigating that I did, talking to other plumbers and other homeowners, they're having the same problem. And I just fixed one where when you're putting the panning in, those pans have secondary drains. So if water gets under there, which it does, it goes to the secondary drains and goes into the drain itself. But when you pull that lid up and it's got a coating of, it looks like a salt lick, it covers that hole inside, which then covers the secondary drain, which then leaks water outside the curbing area because it's filling up underneath. Can you give me a handle on what I'm looking at or why this is occurring more, this hard water, now than ever before?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really a function of the geology. So if you've got a lot of limestone in the ground, you can end up having the groundwater kind of dissolve a lot of that limestone, which makes it into hard water then. And really one of the biggest risks with hard water is your hot water heater, because when you heat up the water, it tends to cause that hardness to come out of solution, to kind of precipitate out and form those white crystalline solids that we all know and love. And it can really, really clog up inside your hot water heater and cause, you know, a lack of efficiency because you're heating up all this crud that's in there. And also it can shorten the life of the appliance. So that's where we're having a water softener can be really important.
Yeah, that's what I suggested to him, because this is a massive problem that we're having. And you know, I said, hey, look, I understand with the water softener, but I was just thinking over the past 2 years in the Philadelphia area and the East Coast, we had massive amounts of rains for the past 2 years. And I'm thinking with all the rain and the salt that they put on, they brine the roads here like there's no tomorrow. I'm thinking all that product that's going in there, Mother Earth is filtering it out and then bringing it back to us through the hard water in the solution. Is that what I'm really looking at? Or is that right on target?
It, you know, typically it has more to do with like the bedrock formation and, you know, sort of the condition of the water going into it. So I think it's really more that base geology that causes that hard water condition. But for sure, you know, if you're looking at an NSF certified water softener, you can be sure it's going to be really effective in preventing that hardness from damaging not only your hot water heater, but your dishwasher and any other appliances you have that heat up water.
Well, here's another one for you, because a lot of people do ask me when they have their copper pipes where the shutoff valves are, and they see this fluorescent greenish aqua color product that's forming around the copper pipes. What do you think
right,
that is?
Yep. That's corrosion. So that's the copper oxidizing right there. So, you know, not a huge issue, but maybe something to consider is having a water treatment device that's certified to remove copper. Just in case you've got a little copper that's getting into the drinking water, it's not a bad thing to make sure that you're treating that. But it's quite normal to have that happen, to have the water be just a little bit corrosive and over time start to erode that copper.
So then, Rick, does the same thing happen with lead? Is it about corrosion?
Precisely.
Okay.
Yep,
all right.
Exactly. And so if you've got, you know, sort of older brass fittings that have a higher amount of lead in them, if you've got lead solder that's holding your pipes together, that's where you can get the lead, is when the water goes corrosive.
Okay. So let's talk about a related problem now. And I got by looking at your website, I picked up on this. And that's counterfeit water filters. Is that a recent development? Seems like...
It is, yes. It's actually become more and more common over the past several years, partly because so many of the refrigerators now sold in the U.S. have water filters in them. So it's become like a really big market, and those filters have a considerable value to them. So it's sort of worth it, I guess, for these companies to make fakes and essentially try to sell them at a lower price and rip people off, basically.
There was just a shipment of bogus water filters. I think it was picked up on the West Coast, right? Right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there were over 5,000 counterfeit filters that were on their way from China to the state of Washington that were seized by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. And, you know, if those filters had been real, they would have had a total suggested retail value of about $224,000.
That's amazing. And how long has this been going on?
It's really ramped up in the past, say, 4 to 5 years. We've really noticed it more and more. And, you know, some of the manufacturers have been taking action. We at NSF have been taking action because our mark can sometimes appear on these counterfeit filters. And we've been working with U.S. Customs and Border Patrol and others to really combat this issue. And, you know, it can be serious because these filters can be made out of substandard materials that aren't safe to be in contact with water. So they can actually end up contaminating the water. They may not do any treatment at all or do really diminished treatment compared to what you would expect. And then they can also leak, and maybe even worse, they can be really hard to get out if they don't quite fit correctly. You know, you can get this leakage, or you put the thing in and then you can't get it back out to change it later. So a lot of problems associated with the counterfeit water filters.
Well, you know, I just watched on the one of those infomercials. They're looking at this one water filtration system. They were using citrus, like a citrus acid, to encapsulate. And again, I'm just trying to put my hands around what all this is to try to educate my listeners to know what to purchase. Have you seen anything like that? Using citrus acid or some kind of a citrus-based product to filter the water?
I'm not totally familiar with that. So that's something that I'll have to check out. You know, there's always new developments out there. That's one of the things I really love about being, you know, part of the water industry is you've got all these new technologies and emerging products to look at. And that's one that I have not yet checked out.
Where are most of these coming from? Are they online? Are they in retail? Where are they coming from? And the fact that it happened on the West Coast, I will bet you it came from China, right? They came from China?
They did,
okay.
Yes.
All right. But is it online sales? Is it retail sales?
You know, it actually can be both. Most of our efforts to stop it have been focused on the online retailers. We've been collaborating with them, and they've been great to work with. They're very serious about this. But, you know, in the last year, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol in L.A. Long Beach has seized like 169,000 counterfeit replacement refrigerator water filters.
Unbelievable.
So just amazing.
Well, we got to run, Rick, and this has been absolutely phenomenal.
Thanks again, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Your Valuable Home, and listen next week.
Yeah, join us again next week for another show.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.